4ZGS mobile and monitoring.
ZGS, this is KQ4WHN, Mark, also mobile.
4WHN, I guess your name is Mark. My name's Chris, and I'm currently in Greer.
Parking lot that is Woodruff Road at the moment, here in front of the Target.
That, I am on Wade Hampton, currently missing the light that I need to turn left at because it was backed up so far that I didn't realize that that's the line I needed to be in.
Time of day to be traveling, there's too many other people doing the same thing, unfortunately.
Yep, had to go up to Home Depot, get some light bulbs and a water filter replacement for under my kitchen sink. I got a cold water filter on that thing, but yeah, I didn't find all the light bulbs I needed at Home Depot. Most of those things are LEDs, man. Their incandescent bulb selection is light. So I think I'm going to go to a local hardware store tomorrow and pick up what I need.
Since they're losing their popularity with the government trying to eradicate them, but at least you can still buy them. That's what you're looking for, but the LEDs... definitely more popular on the store these days.
Yep. I had to get some bulbs for a ceiling fan and some bulbs for my bathroom fixture. And I found some incandescent ones that'll fit in the ceiling fan, so that was cool. But the style of bathroom fixture bulb are those, like, big round bulbs. And I've bought them in the past up in Landrum at the hardware store there. But pretty much everything that looks like that is an LED at Home Depot, so I was like, eh. So anyway, right on, man. Well, I actually managed to, that left lane turn was backed up, but then the light turned green and all those folks got out of the way, so I actually didn't miss my turn after all. I just missed the light, so that's cool.
Gifts, if you wait for them and they happen, that's a tough turn to make if you miss it, so I'm glad you got there.
I was just going to go forward and pull a U-ey somewhere, but I saw that line got out of the way, so didn't want to, you know, cut anyone off or anything like that, so I just kind of waited my turn, they all got out of the way, and now I'm sitting here waiting to turn left, so yeah, but Wade Hampton Boulevard is busy, busy, busy right now.
I have trouble finding light bulbs. I know that Duke Power has a light bulb program that they sell, I think, just Chinese bulbs. And they're probably all LEDs at this point, but they do have an LED purchase program through their website, DukeEnergy.com.
After that, yeah, I'll check that out if I can't find what I'm looking for, but I think that hardware store should have what I need. But anyway, Mark, you getting ready for the snow this weekend?
I've got my wife coming in at the airport right now, and then we're going to probably run out and get some groceries. My radio rebooted. We're going to run out and get some groceries before things get crazy tomorrow, and then we'll go from there. But the forecast from the Weather Service just came up with a full 6 inches, so when everybody figures out that it's going to be more snow than less, they're going to panic.
About that, Mark, I did copy. I had another, I had the Fleet Talk Network open on my radio, and Vicky over there was making an announcement about her STEM network tonight. So it's like hearing multiple things come in. So I didn't copy your last. I got something about the preparation for the snow, but then I got distracted. I apologize, Mark. Can you repeat?
I have my wife coming in to the airport right now where I'm headed to pick her up, but we're probably going to hit the grocery store on the way back because when everybody figures out the Weather Service is calling for 6 inches now, it's going to get crazy.
Seeing that it's going to be a bomb cyclone, as they say, and some places might even have wind gusts of up to 60 miles an hour, and I've seen the reports on the snow. They even said that there might at some points be blizzard-like conditions. So that's, we're getting smacked 2 weeks in a row, dude. This is KG4ZGS for ID.
Yeah, I'm okay with the snow, but the wind coming in is definitely going to make it.
The young son, he's not quite 2 years old yet, but this last weekend I only took him out once, and at one point he went out into the yard and pretty much immediately slipped and fell down in the ice, so he was unhappy about that. So it wasn't really a good snow day for him, but I'm looking forward to a little bit of snow anyway to, you know, take him out in it because it's magical for a kid. It's a pain in the butt for the rest of us, but for a kid, it's a pretty fun experience, so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, so the downside to this one is it's going to be a light powdery snow, so no snowballs, no snowmen, just splitting and running down the hill.
Right on. Well, yeah, just gotta stay cozy and it'll be fun to take him out. Man, speaking of like kids, dude, and the Fleet Talk interruption that I had on the other repeater that I've got open on my radio, they're talking about the STEM network. That network is run by kids, so that's pretty inspiring. Maybe I can get my son into it someday when he's older.
Yeah, Vicky is magic. I listen to her nets. She does at least three, if not four, between the bottom of the barrel bunch, the STEM network. I think there's a hottie totty or something like that somewhere. But, she's a gift amateur radio.
I checked into her net. I think it was last week. I'm pretty sure it was last week, right before the ice. So that was cool. It was cool to hear those kids. Yeah, my dad. So obviously my son's too young right now, but maybe someday he'll be interested.
The conversation, you know, that there's one girl that was, I think, 11, and there's a parent standing there behind them, and it's encouraging. People have to have that, that desire and that interest to do it, and then just the sheer bravery to talk to adults is a big part of it, and that's amazing that the, you know, I've heard them as young as 9 on the STEM net. I can't imagine doing that at that age, but I wasn't the brave child.
Yeah, I just thought it was really inspiring. I thought it was cool. So, and it gave me a little bit of nostalgia. I didn't get my license until I was a teen, but my dad got his amateur radio license a couple few years somewhere before I did. But before he had his ham radio, he was in the CB. So I remember being a little kid and going on road trips with my dad across the country and talking to truckers on Channel 19 and all that good stuff. So listening to those kids, it gives me some nostalgia and some hope for what I can do with my son.
It's fine to pick up hammering, but so far he's been all that interested. I think the math and the learning and antenna theory and everything is kind of intimidating, but I'm going to keep introducing him to it.
I have just within the last few weeks, this last month, gotten back into ham radio. There's many years where I didn't do anything in ham and kept my license renewed over the years, but I just didn't have a radio and didn't get on. But my dad got me back into it at the end of last year, and he helped me install a mobile rig in my car. So I've been enjoying it, and I've relearned all the stuff from my tech license that I got in 2003. I just read through that material again, and there's just so much stuff to learn, but I think I understand it better now than I did when I was a teenager. I think when I was a teen, I, you know, learned some of the material and learned, you know, the question pool to pass the test, and I even passed 5 words a minute CW, but I couldn't do anything with Morse code right now. I haven't thought about it in so many years. I've forgotten all the characters, but, you know, it's a learning process. It's kind of, if you can get your license, that's good enough, and then just keep learning. And, man, there's tons of good stuff on YouTube, lots of really good videos that talk about electromagnetism and radios and stuff like that. And the computer animation for a lot of these things is much, much, much better than it was 20-plus years ago when I first got licensed. So there's a lot of cool stuff to help you learn easy.
YouTube videos and all of the elements out there wanting to pass along their knowledge. You know, there's some out there that are in it for whatever YouTube revenue they can get, but folks that are out there just passing on knowledge and helping people with theory and helping people with study and going through all the different elements and understanding. I've learned more on YouTube, I think, than I have in any other source, and it's amazing all the different, just, you know, antennas that you can do for HF or the, you know, different modes of amateur radio, and seeing somebody go through and do it, use it, explain it, demonstrate it, it's so much more helpful than trying to read it somewhere or maybe just go through and try and build it yourself and keep banging your head against the wall. So YouTube's been a big friend to me.
YouTube University. I watched a couple of videos on modulation, and now I have a much better understanding of amplitude modulation versus frequency modulation, and seeing the visuals really made it make sense. And so, you know, so a lot of those concepts, you know, I've also learned a lot since I first took my test, so relearning this stuff is, now I'm with the benefit of, you know, 23 extra years of life to have learned a lot of these concepts in other realms. So I think I understand this stuff a lot better than I did when I first got my license, but I've just been relearning it, reviewing it, all that good stuff, and I'm setting myself up to try to study for my general license. I'd like to eventually get an HF rig. And also recently I've gone down the GMRS rabbit hole, and there's just so much stuff to learn about that. I got my GMRS license a couple days ago, and I have a couple of Baofeng radios coming in that hit those stations, or hit those frequencies rather, those channels, but I didn't know when I bought those radios that that's not 100% legal, so now I'm exploring GMRS radios so I can legally transmit on those frequencies. So the rabbit hole goes deep, and it goes a lot deeper than my pockets, unfortunately.
Copy. Yeah, no, I got into a habit of buying a radio or an HD for the better part of 6 months. There was something new coming in, pieces, parts, antennas, coax. And eventually I was at, okay, I think I'm at a critical mass now. I need to back up a little bit and just let everything settle and then figure out what I need versus what I want. But I got, you know, I have a DMR hotspot, I have a D-Star hotspot, I've got an All-Star hotspot. I've just about everything but the 1.25 meter band I can operate in at this point. And it's just, you know, pure curiosity and wandering through all the different things that I could do. Not necessarily the things that I want to or need to, but just because I can. And that's, you know, that's part of the fun of the hobby.
Right on, dude. Yeah, I do not currently own an HF rig. And if I did, I'd only have the limited tech privileges on 10 meters. But the Baofengs that I got are tri-band HTs, so they do 440, 2 meter, and that 1.25 meter band. So I'm curious to check that out. I think there's a couple repeaters nearby. See who's playing around with 1 1/4. the 222 megahertz. So I've got those valve things coming in that do that stuff, and they also get on the GMRS and the MERS frequencies, but they're not FCC Part 95E or whatever it is certified. And oh my gosh, man, to get on Rule 90, you know, you get your GMRS license and you check the box that says I've read Rule 95 and I understand, and then you go actually look at Rule 95 and you could be scrolling for days on that page, man. I don't know how anyone would understand that unless they were an attorney and a ham radio operator and had like 10 years to sit and read that thing.
I'm thinking you were not the first person to check that box and not having read Part 95. That's just a guess on
it. I've gone down the rabbit hole, so now I have another ham, actually. I was talking about it, and another ham got in there and kind of politely told me what the deal was, and so then that's when I really dove down the rabbit hole. And he kept me from stepping on a landmine, although I don't think they really care about GMRS and whether your radio, you know, conforms to their standards or whatever. It's technically not legal, but I don't think they're sending the FCC police after anybody for it. But, you know, I'm still trying to do things above board and make sure I cross my I's and dot my T's, you know what I mean?
Roger, there are rules. You know, you're not going to end up going to jail for it, but you'll also find the GMRS folks are much more deliberate about their permissions and asking for permission to use the repeater, and then they want to know what unit you're going to be using on your station to be communicating with their repeater, and then if you don't give them a model number that's in the GMRS spectrum, they're going to go, well, you're...
That's what that fellow was telling me. So, yeah, so I'll probably get a couple of GMRS HTs just for me and my wife to talk while we're caravan driving. And but I'm also looking at a nicer mobile unit made by, I guess the name is Wotion, Wuxon, however you pronounce that word. I think I hear a lot of people on YouTube say Ocean or Wotion, but they got this Wotion KG1000G+. It's kind of spendy. It's almost $400, but man, the capabilities on it look pretty sweet. So I think I'm going to get one of those at some point over the next couple of months. And then I'm actually also just looking at a CB radio. My dad wants me to get an HF rig, and HF is cool, and I want to get into it. I still got to get my general license, but I kind of want to have that local talkability down. So I've got my mobile going, and I'm gonna be one of those guys with like three or four antennas on the back of my car. I'm cool with that. This is KG4ZGS Friday.
KG4WHN. Yeah, that's the one thing I've got to get my wife to normalize. Is, you know, I'm dying every time I get in her car because she doesn't have the radio. I'm like, well, what would you think if I put you know, just a little short, stubby antenna on your roof? And she's like, no, 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 no. So can't even get her to do that. But sounds like your wife is open to it. You ought to get her her tech license. That sounds like it'd be cheaper than getting spendy GMRS gear.
Yeah, since I've gotten my mobile rig and whenever she rides around with me, she's been kind of my scribe, as it were. She'll help me write down people's call signs and their names and where they're at and stuff like that while I'm driving. And it's been interesting. Like, she's showed some interest in it. I don't know how much she wants to study for it. I've kind of been like, you know, sometimes when we're sitting on the couch, I'll bring up YouTube and play a video on electromagnetism or something, and just kind of get these ideas in her head. But we'll see. We'll see if she wants to get her tech license. And yeah, I know GMRS is, I mean, they do make other mobile rigs that aren't that expensive, but the reviews are mixed on a lot of those. The one I'm looking at, a lot of people say that it's their first and last GMRS, and not because they don't like it, but because they really love the machine. So I think it'd be cool to have that, like, local UHF down pat, and then also get a CB radio just for when I'm on the interstate and want to talk to truckers.
A CB radio in probably 25 years, but from all the descriptions, it sounds like it's a kind of a wild west these days. So I might be more likely to do GMRS as opposed to CB. But you definitely don't get the truckers if you don't have CB. So I definitely understand that.
I'm trying to build this mobile base station, you know. I want all the radios, and I want to be able to talk to whoever I want to talk to. So we'll see if I leave enough room for an HF rig. I bet I'll be able to, if I get a CB, I'll probably put a Wilson 500 on the back of my car, and then that might be good to run 10 meters on. I'm not sure. I'll have to see. I've got limited space on my dash, but I have enough for a couple of radios. So the radio I'm on right now is on a gooseneck mount that I've got mounted to the passenger seat rail, and I'm really digging this setup.
Lido mount, L-I-D-O, Lido mount.
I'd have to go back to my Amazon order and look at it. I don't know. I apologize for not knowing that, but I'm running an Anytone 778 dual band. And I've got it going into a Comet antenna that's on a lip mount on my trunk. So this setup is sweet. My dad and I did it on Christmas Day, and it's a really clean setup. Like, it looks professionally done. And so we're actually, since I want to get these other radios, instead of wiring them all to the battery, we're going to wire them to a red and black, like, electronic bus system, so that we can send one series of wires to the batteries, but then have multiple series of wires connecting my multiple radios.
Everything is fused and plays nice with each other, then you should be good to go. That sounds like it's going to be an awesome rig. The only problem you're going to have is, which mic do I pick up? Because I've had more than one conversation with somebody who grabbed the wrong mic.
Yeah, dude, I'm so ADD that I can't even concentrate on more than one conversation at a time. That's why, like, when I heard Vicky coming in on Fleet Talk, I was like, nope, I gotta go change that channel really quick so I don't hear her talking. Not that I don't want to hear her, but it's just distracting because I'm talking to you.
Getting into a conversation, the first thing I do is wheel down that other VFO, because I will absolutely get distracted if I don't.
Mark, are you still on Woodruff Road there?
No, I've even made it from Woodruff to I-85 to the airport parking lot, so all I gotta do now is wait for the plane to land.
Head on, dude. Yeah, that's good that you're out of that traffic there to pick your wife up. Man, I need to, I guess with these Baofengs coming in, I could probably, I'm not sure, I gotta do some more research on frequencies, and I think that a lot of the frequencies for air traffic control might be accessible, at least to listen to, on my Baofeng. Obviously, I wouldn't transmit on those frequencies, but it'd be cool. I see people on J-Vern pull off, you know, right next to the airport to watch the planes come in or take off or whatever. It'd be cool to sit there and be able to listen to the traffic.
Yeah, the ICOM I'm talking on right here, I've got the approach frequencies and departure frequencies for the airport, so I have done that in the past and just listened to all the traffic come in and out. Sometimes you can't hear folks because, you know, you're just not in the range of an antenna that's sitting there underneath the body of the airplane broadcasting out, and you're just not in line with it, but it's usually good. You can hear tower, you can hear ground, you can hear approach and departure. They have a approach east and approach west, which I think they do both departure and approach on the same frequencies. It's just east-west, whether you're going, which direction you're going. So you kind of have to know in advance what plane or what traffic you want to listen to, and you can get a lot of really good information, particularly if you want to just sit there and watch planes land. That's that's a fun thing you can do with kids. If your youngin gets a little more age on them, gets really excited about planes. I've even had the folks in the tower go, "Hey, there's that guy in the red truck. Make sure you wave at him as you come in." It's like, oh, I guess they're talking about me.
Dude, that's sounds like a lot of fun. I see people out there just doing, you know, the parts of cars.
We might want to say good night, because I got to pay attention to the plane traffic coming in, make sure I don't miss her coming out the front door. So this is KQ4 WHN. Appreciate the QSO, sir, 73s, and have a good afternoon.
KC4SKD, I'm clear.
RZY, I'm gone. Thanks.